The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Iris Bunshaft.
Good to
How
be
are you,
with
Iris? You haven't seen you in a while.
Yes,
it's
good
so
to be
glad
with
you're back.
You again, John.
It's a wonderful thing. And before we get to our first guest, I want to tell you what Project Independence is. And it's the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. And we do that through very many partnerships we have throughout the town. We have transportation to and from doctor visits. We're going to have a doctor on in a few minutes. We have transportation for food shopping. We have social work visits. We have light home repair services that are brought volunteer-wise to residents in the town. You name it, every day of the week, there is a program someplace, a Zumba, a yoga, some sort of exercise. I mean, the most important things for seniors as they age is socialization, food, and
the comfort of their own home.
Good. Perfect, Iris. That's why you're here. and that's what Project Independence tries to bring to the residents of North Hempstead. We also have this radio program, which is Project Independence and You, where every week, Christina Liu, who is the producer, brings on a couple of guests to share their wisdom. And it's so important because people listen to the program, and I see it or hear it during the week when I'm walking around. And I actually, this came from Iris maybe a year ago, Golden Nuggets. Because if you pick up one thing, it was worth listening.
Yes, that was your golden nugget for the day.
Now, today we have Rachel Bakshiev with us. And Rachel is a psychiatrist at Northwell Health.
Physiatrist.
Yeah. I knew that. A physiatrist. Yeah. Okay, I got Rachel right and physiatrist wrong. And the main thing that Rachel does is its diet and its effect on arthritis. Am I right?
Right. So I treat a bunch of different musculoskeletal conditions, ranging from back, neck, shoulders, knees, hips. But, one thing that I'm interested in is nutrition. And I figured since most people probably don't know the nutrition's effect on arthritis, I would talk about that today.
Mostly nutrition. Okay. Now, before we go there, how did you get involved in this field?
So I'm a medical doctor. I was a rhythmic gymnast in my younger years, and I taught yoga, and so I really liked movement.
Okay.
And kinesthetic. So I, wanted to go into a field that was non-surgical but still dealt with musculoskeletal conditions. So I found this field that basically it's a minimally invasive non-surgical musculoskeletal field called physical medicine and rehabilitation.
Wow, say that again slow. No, I'm going to get that was a mouthful.
Physical medicine and rehabilitation.
Okay.
It's abbreviated PM&R.
Okay.
PM&R. We treat musculoskeletal conditions. There are other doctors in the specialty that also treat neurodegenerative conditions, people who have had strokes, and for example, have trouble now ambulating. People who've had spinal cord injuries, concussions, even pediatric patients that were born with cerebral palsy and things like that. So it's really...
Is that all within your purview?
I don't do all of those things. I treat kids with cerebral palsy, but I don't really do traumatic brain injury or spinal cord. I did a fellowship more in musculoskeletal.
Mm-hmm. But today we're going to be talking about the arthritis aspect of your practice.
Right, exactly.
With diet. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Actually, the diet part, let's start with that.
Yeah, sure.
Because, what you have going on in America today with the percentage of fast food being consumed, et cetera, Coca-Cola, or I shouldn't, whatever, soda, everything. It's like, sometimes you get into an amusement park. Or wherever it is, and you see a picnic table, or even a regular park, that you go to play baseball or something, and for the kids, and you go by somebody having a picnic.
Yeah.
And just it's junk. I mean, everybody should have a little junk. Everybody needs a little junk. But you can't, sustain children on that, and especially, and seniors, it's worse.
Yeah. No, you're totally right, John. when I talk about diet with my patients, it's not just for weight loss, but it's also because obesity and food has an inflammatory effect on the body. So when people have knee arthritis, you may know somebody who might have knee arthritis. Sometimes it feels good, sometimes it doesn't feel good. But if you take an MRI of their knee, it won't really change from day to day. So why do they feel good one day and not good the next day? So the immune system, that's where that comes in, because it ebbs and flows. Sometimes we feel bloated, swollen. Other days we don't. Sometimes our joints hurt. Other days they don't. But there was no new injury. There's nothing new that happened. It's the inflammatory state of the body that can be controlled through diet. So that's what I talk about.
Interesting. Actually, just as a sharing, I mean, I'm obviously heavy, but I'm also a vegan, which is the other night we're out at dinner. And my daughter ordered for everybody. She ordered steak for her two children. One steak. One is a four-year-old, one's a seven. She ordered a couple of pasta dishes and one pizza. It was myself, my wife, my two grandsons, and my daughter. They bring one steak knife over. Who'd they give it to? Me. I said, no, I don't eat that. Thank you very much. So it just, you know, you look at me and say, oh, this is the guy that's going to be eating the steak. So it is important to have portion control, which I don't have. But I do agree, because when I stopped eating meat years ago, and I gave up dairy 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whatever it was, and it was a dramatic change after that.
Right, and you probably felt better.
100%.
Yeah. That's an encouragement, yes.
And so you have to find the ones, I suppose. Now, I'm not saying everybody should do what I do. You can't. But I never paid attention to the fact what you're saying. Somebody's knee may hurt today because last night they had cookies, or maybe last night they even had grapefruit. It makes no difference. They had something that threw off their system.
Right, exactly. And some people might notice that, you know, if they're constipated or they haven't had a good bowel movement in a while, perhaps, you know, they feel swollen or other things start hurting them. They're just or they're less flexible in physical therapy that day, whatever it is, but it does affect the body. So, you know, if you want, it can go into more specifics or...
Go ahead. No, seriously, this is... Okay. And we'll interrupt if we have a question.
I have something. Because of what you and I had spoken the other day about the microbiome, I looked it up. I said, what is that? And you know, we're always told to eat fiber. Well, what does that mean and why? Okay? And I came to realize through reading that's really important. Why? Because you've got good bacteria and bad bacteria in your gut, okay? And with the wrong kinds of food encourages the bad bacteria. Whereas if you eat fiber, it's not absorbed, digested by the stomach and the small intestines, and it goes where you want it to go, to the colon. Is that correct?
Yeah, so exactly right, Iris. So
and the colon is the one that needs that fiber in order to produce good bacteria. Well, you know, that transitioned my mind thinking differently. There's a reason for the fiber. Not just for bowel movements and so on, but for inflammation as
right.
well.
So fiber is called a prebiotic, so meaning that it's a food that bacteria actually eat. So a lot of patients with dysbiosis, which means a imbalance of bacteria, so the bad outweigh the good, dysbiosis, right? So sometimes patients with dysbiosis, if you give them fiber, they'll feel worse, because they only have bad bacteria that's gobbling up all the fiber, because it's actually a food, as is honey and other foods. And you can't give those patients fiber. You have to fix their gut first. So, you know, osteoarthritis is a really common type of arthritis in the United States. It doesn't have a lot of good treatment options. You know, we have NSAIDs, which are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, like Aleve and Advil and Celebrex and ibuprofen and things like that. You know, those are limiting to an extent. So if you have reflux or stomach problems or ulcers or gastritis, or you have kidney issues or blood pressure issues, you know, you can't take those forever either. There's injections, there's steroid injections. Those are, you know, it gives you a little bit of a sugar high, you can think of it that way. It'll give you relief maybe 1 to 6 months, if that, but it'll come right back. It doesn't help the arthritis get better. It just temporarily reduces what? Inflammation, right? So
okay.
We're talking about inflammation here. You have other choices like therapy, which I think is incredibly important, as long as you have a good therapist, one-on-one. And, you know, then there are different injections. There's gel injections. There's the field of regenerative medicine, which are things like stem cells in the form of blood product or other things. But those are not covered by insurance because it's a fairly new treatment and it's not FDA approved yet. So do you guys have any questions so far?
Yeah. In that, which is very medical in nature, is there, from a nutritional point of view, some foods to absolutely avoid? You have knee arthritis, which a lot of people, it seems, have. You know, somebody's like, I played baseball or something like that, or they were cleaning the house or whatever they're doing. Are there foods that, you know, guess what? If you have jelly or if you have chicken, it's a flare-up automatically when you should have
right.
milk. I'm making it up. I have no idea.
Yeah. So before I answer that question, I'm just going to describe something. So,
okay.
You know, there's this thing, as Iris mentioned, called the microbiome, which is a host of bacteria that normally live in your GI tract, right? We have bacteria everywhere from our nasal passageways to our mouth, everywhere. Most of it lives in the GI tract. 2 kilograms worth. That's the weight of your brain. So
wow.
It's a lot. And most people,
I know people have two a brain full of bacteria.
Yeah.
So honestly, it's interesting.
So and some of this,
but not on this program today.
No.
And so some of this bacteria, it actually exerts an inflammatory effect, right? So they help you do various things. They help you downgrade toxins. They help produce vitamins, and they also have different breakdown products that they release that can then trigger an inflammatory response. So based off of that, we want a healthy gut bacteria, right? So different foods are actually pro-inflammatory, right? So the number two food groups that I would encourage most people to trial to get rid of, at least for a month, is all flour products. So meaning all breads, all pastas, cookies, cakes, even couscous. It's like baby pasta. And the second food group would be dairy, you know, and it's in cow's milk form. So cheese or yogurt, other dairy substitutes such as almond milk or coconut milk or even oat milk. It's really good.
Excuse me. That was a little complicated, what you just said about the dairy. So you're putting, excuse me, milk from, this is cow.
Cow's milk.
Cow's
milk. Is out.
Okay, is out. How about yogurt?
Yogurt is out.
Anything from milk. Anything that's made from...
Anything from cow's milk.
Right.
Okay. How about goat and what's the other one?
I have no idea.
Another animal.
Yeah. Preferably all milk.
All milk. Okay.
Yeah. All mammal milk.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So those are the two top most inflammatory foods. The other...
Just can I ask a question of flour?
Yeah.
A reference to flour.
Yeah.
That's from a gluten perspective or...
So rather...
Like flaxseed.
Yeah.
Flour. Flax flour.
Right. Gluten is definitely, a big insult to the GI tract. You may have heard of celiac disease or something like that,
right.
Where people are sensitive to gluten. But sometimes you don't have to have celiac disease. There is a spectrum now that's been recognized of individuals who are sensitive to gluten but don't necessarily have celiac disease, right? For example, there is a condition... it's an inflammatory arthritic condition, not regular osteoarthritis,
okay.
But an inflammatory version of it. And it's been clearly linked with irritable bowel syndrome.
Wow.
So the GI and your bones and your cartilage and honestly your whole inflammatory state, it's not just musculoskeletal. It also has to do with the brain and your vessels and it affects the whole system.
So how do you analyze that? I mean, to focus on what it is that John has or you have or I have, whatever. I mean, we may have the outward look of say knee problems or whatever, but the origins might be different. Is that from what you're saying? Some people have IBS. Some people who do not have IBS
right.
with a knee difficulty.
So it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for things that you know can be found through lab work, you draw certain labs. If you're, if you think that, you also asked about their symptoms. If they're telling you they're bloated, or you know they have irregular bowel movements. One day if they have diarrhea, one day they're constipated, and you know,
With constipation, we'll stop. Because we have to take a break, and I think it makes sense. So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.